Mishnah Yomis for Tuesday, the fifth day of Elul, Tavshin Pei Gimel, Masechta Rosh Hashanah, Perek Gimel, Mishnah Vav. Shofar Shenizdak, if you have a shofar that's been cracked along its length, V'dibkoi, and he glued it together, either with glue or with heat of fire, posel, the shofar will not be good for blowing. It's disqualified. According to Rashi, he learns that we're talking about a shofar that's been cracked in two pieces. Tosfos learns even if it's not, it's simply cracked all along its length. Some say even a small crack along its length. The shofar is posel. And that's because, as a result of the tkias through the blowing, the crack will widen. It's as if it's already widened. Now, so far, all of these mefarshim, Rashi, Tosfos, Rabbeinu Yonason, are learning that we're talking about when it was cracked along its length, as the Gemara indeed says. However, what would happen if it was cracked along its width? So here we learned in a braisa that if along its width, then providing that there was one part of the shofar that still has the shear of a tekiah, it'll be kosher. Otherwise, it's possible. What is the shear of tekiah? And that is, if it's long enough that if you held it in your hand, it would be protruding out from both sides. And that's, the Chacham said, the minimum of that would be a tefach, a handbreadth. Dibek shivrei shofaros. If a person stuck together broken pieces of a shofar, so a shofar that's been split along its breadth in two or three places, and each of those parts of the shofar would not be large enough or long enough to be constituted as a shofar, and as a shir tkiah, doesn't have the shir tkiah. And a person came and he joined the pieces, made them one shofar, posel. Again, the shofar is no good, can't be used. If, however, in one of those parts of the shofar, it did have the shear of tkiah, which we said before, the shear that if you put your hand around it, you'll be seen on both sides, then the actual sticking of the parts together will not make the shofar posel. That's how some learn. Others learn that even if there was a shear of the shofar in one of those parts of the shofar, it would still be possible. And that's because of another issue, and that is the fact that when you have shofars like that, or parts of the shofar stuck together, then it's no longer called one shofar, it's called several shofars. And the Torah says to blow in a shofar, singular. Nikav, what happens if there's a hole that was formed in the shofar? Ostomoy, and he sealed the hole. The Gemara explained, even if he sealed it with the same material as the shofar is made of. If that hole would have stopped the blowing while it was, if it wouldn't have been filled, possible, then shofar is possible. Why? Because it comes out now that the only reason that the blowing of the shofar is working is because of the filling, and that's no good. Vimlav, if, however, the hole, even if it would not have been filled, would not have stopped the blowing of the shofar working, then we say that because even before he sealed it, it was working well, therefore we say that now, even though as a result of the sealing of it and closing the hole, it might blow better than before, but that's not a problem. It'll be kosher. The mission, the shofar will be all right, will be okay. Mishnah Zayin. After we learned about a shofar, what disqualifies the shofar, now we're going to learn about what type of sounds that may come out of the shofar that would be no good, even if the shofar is good. Hatakeya l'secha boir l'secha dos. If a person is blowing into a pit or into a cistern, or l'secha pitos, or into a great, a big barrel, a barrel of earthenware made out of cheres. Rabbi explains that our Mishnah is talking about a time of the Shmad where the Jews were very scared of blowing shofar openly, and they could only blow in hiding places, though they would tend to blow it in caves, in pits, etc. Says the Mishnah, Im kol shofar shama, if one heard the sound of the shofar clearly, not mixed with any other sound of echoes, etc., yotza, then he has fulfilled the mitzvah. v'im kol havara shama, but if he's hearing only the sound of the echo, lo yotza, then he's not yotza. In other words, the only way you can be yotza the shkia of the shofar from the one who's blowing in the bow is if you are clear, absolutely sure, that you heard the sound of the shofar and not the echo. The Gemara explains that those people who are standing in the pit or in the cistern, they for sure would have heard the sound of the shofar. There's no question about that. And then they're yotza. Our Mishnah is talking about someone who's standing outside the pit or on the edge of the pit. And here's where the Mishnah says that one has to be very careful to determine, did he hear the sound of the shofar or did he hear the sound of the echo? If it was the shofar, yes, they're yotza. If not, then they're not yotza. There is another way of learning the Mishnah, but most don't learn it that way, and that is the Rosh. The Rosh has a different way of learning the Mishnah. Similarly, if a person was passing by at the back of a shul, behind the shul, or his house happened to be close to the shul, and he hears the sound of the shofar being blown on Rosh Hashanah for all the shul, and he happens to hear it. I call Megillah, or if it's Purim and he's hearing the sound of the Megillah Sastra being read. Im kivin libay, if he had in mind to be yotza with this blowing of the shofar or with the reading of the Megillah yotza, then we say he's yotza. And even though the one who's blowing the shofar or the one who's reading the Megillah didn't have him in particular in mind, because he didn't see him, didn't even know about him, we still say that the shlich tzibur has in mind to fulfill the mitzvah for all those who are hearing him. And therefore we say, anyone, as long as someone had in mind to be yotza, he'll be yotza his mitzvah. Vim lav. If, however, the person who was behind there, who was living next to the shul, or who was walking behind the shul, had no intention to be yotza, le yotza, he's not yotza the mitzvah. Afal pisha zeh shama v'zeh shama. Even though this one heard it and the other one heard it, zeh lechiven liboy, zeh lechiven liboy. One of them had in mind, and one did not have in mind, and that's the difference. The one who has in mind to be yotza will be yotza, the one who didn't have in mind will not be yotza. From our Mishnah, it would seem to be the case that mitzvah shofar requires kavanah. Mitzvah megillah, you have to have kavanah to be yotza. I.e., that if you're not having in mind to be yotza the mitzvah, you won't be yotza. And therefore, some learn in the Gemara from here that this applies throughout the whole set of mitzvahs that we have. In all mitzvahs, you need to have kavanah. Others, however, argue, and they say, no, mitzvahs do not need kavanah. Even if you didn't have in mind, you would be yotza. Aye, but our Mishnah says, only im kivin liboy, only if you have in mind. Yes, you have in mind does not mean, according to their opinion, the Mishnah is not saying they had in mind to be yotza. It means they had in mind to hear the sound of the shofar. Or when they heard the Megillah, they had in mind, they concentrated on the reading of the Megillah. They concentrated on the blowing of the shofar. Did they have to have in mind to be yotza the mitzvah? No. Because they hold that mitzvahs do not require kavanah.